whenever Pastor Matt asks me to, or says he's going to be gone and wants to do this, I'm always like, yeah, I know exactly what I want to talk about. And then he preaches on it for 8 weeks right before. And I'm like, well, I really don't know what I'm going to do with that. He's preached on it for seven or eight weeks. Was it seven or eight? It was eight. Okay. You'd think I would know. I was up there. About bringing people to Jesus. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, but I don't want to step on anything that he said because I couldn't do it better than he did, and I'm not about to try. I wanted to talk about just talking to people. I don't know if any of you know me very well, and if you do, you know that that is not a problem that I have. I do not have a problem. I've never met anybody that I thought was a stranger. I've never been shy about saying hello or how you doing, what's going on, what are we doing, what can I do, can I help you, what can I do? What's your name, what do you do? I've never had a problem about talking about things that are not important. How many times have you and I talked about a book that has nothing to do with the Bible? My wife and I have talked about movies that don't have anything to do with the Bible. We just like talking about it. Chris and I have talked about sports to a point where we have a shorthand. We don't even have, I looked at him this morning and I said, we need to fire your offensive coordinator. And he knew exactly who I was talking about. My wife has told me on several occasions that when you're up here, you don't have to mention sports every single time. But I relate to it that way. I'm going to share a story with you because it was something that happened to me whenever I was 23 years old. I was on vacation with my parents. I know that sounds weird. You're 23 years old and you went on vacation with your parents? Are you still living at home? No, I wasn't, oddly enough. I had a week's vacation and they were going to go in December to Disneyland, or Disney World rather, sorry. And they wanted me to go with them. And I was like, free trip? I was broke. I didn't have anything. I couldn't afford to have the vacation. I needed whatever overtime I could get that week. But it was like, free trip? Yeah. All it's going to cost me is the gas money to go meet my mom and dad, and then I'd drive with them the rest of the way. All I had to do was drive a little bit. Great. We'll go. Brand new place that opened up. Well, it wasn't brand new. Okay? It was new to me. MGM Grand Studios. They do all these fancy things where they show you this like Tower of Terror where you get in an elevator and the elevator drops and they have a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. They have a Raiders of the Lost Ark ride. And I loved that movie when I was little. I'm an adult. I still kind of love it a little more than I probably should. We're sitting there and we got good seats, right? We're in good spot. We're in a good spot. We're probably where you are right now. There's like three rows ahead of us. And there's two seats that are empty. And I can't figure out why those two seats are empty. They're actually roped off. And I'm like, what on earth? Who is supposed to be sitting there? Is it broke? Is the ride broke and that part of the seat gets wet or something? I don't know. And my dad goes, I wonder where those seats are. I mean, my dad looks at me at the same moment that I'm thinking this. This is how in sync he and I were. He looks at me and he goes, I don't know why those seats are open. Why do you think they are? And then all of a sudden, the reason comes in. Tiger Woods at 21 years old. For those of you that don't know, for a while, Tiger Woods was the, sorry, honey, greatest golfer, I mentioned sports again, that existed. He was great. For a time, he could not be beat. But at this point, very few people outside my dad and I, which we shared sports, knew who he was initially. But as everybody started looking around, I looked at my dad and I go, who is that? I said, he looks really familiar. My dad said, that's Tiger Woods. And immediately, like through the crowd, everybody went, that's Tiger Woods, that's Tiger Woods, that's Tiger Woods. And it just like went up the whole little gallery thing that we were in. So much so that I could not tell you one thing that happened in that ride. Because I was staring at him the whole time. my eyes were fixed on him. And the ride got over with. And they didn't let him out separate. Everybody went out at the same time. So people were like all around him. People were mobbing him. People were like, hey, can I get a photo? Can I get a photo? Can I get a photo? And my mom looks at me and says, hey, do you want to get a photo with Tiger Woods? She didn't know who he was. But he was new. And I was like, I'm not going to bother him. I don't want to bother him. That's silly. I hate to see what's going on right now. What is his life going to be like? And what do I need a picture of him for? That was the right way to say it, but like in April, like 4 months later, he broke the record at the Masters for the most shots that anyone had ever won by. And my mom looks at me one day and goes, you know, you could have had a picture with him. That's a story that I tell a lot because it's an interesting thing. It was something that was cool, but it didn't really have any effect on my life. It didn't have any effect on anybody else's life. In our lives, good things happen and bad things happen, and you're going to make a good decision and you're going to make a bad decision. And it doesn't seem to matter which one of those you're on. Life goes on. We go on with it. We share stuff all the time that means nothing. What we're here to talk about today is what we share is so much more important. How many people in this room have gotten a recommendation about a place to eat from somebody? How many of you have gotten a recommendation about a place not to eat from somebody? How many of you have heard somebody say, don't go watch that, it's terrible. Don't go here, it's dangerous. Do this. What we talk about here every single Sunday is more important than any of that. I'm a fan of detective shows. And in detective shows, the cop always comes in and interviews a witness. They're like, well, what did you see? I don't have the microphone. I don't know why I did that. But they say, what did you see? We had a crime happen close to our house recently. And the cops knocked on the door. I was standing behind it because I was staring at them. There was cops by the door. I didn't know. I'm like, this is kind of cool. This is like cops, you know, look it out. Thought it was interesting. Came up and asked me. I was a terrible witness. I had nothing to give him. Didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, don't have any cameras on my house. I was worthless. Not the first time I've experienced that. But had I been a good witness, what would they have called me to do? They would have called me to testify. Part of being a witness is being able to testify. Also, part of that is you have to give them some sort of proof or evidence so that they can prove whatever they say happened, happened. You have to get on a stand and swear that this is the truth. By the way, I don't know if they still make you use the Bible, but they used to make you put your right hand on the Bible. Or put your hand on the Bible, and I don't remember which one it was now. One of the two. But we're not here to talk about just the justice system. We're here to talk about how much there is a similarity with what it would be like to be a witness in a case, because we are every day of our lives presenting the case for Jesus. And we're either doing a really good job or we're doing a really bad job. My favorite, I don't know how to say this without making them bigger than they are, but the apostles, my favorite apostle is Peter. I can relate to Peter. Peter opens his mouth whether he has a chance to stop it or not. He doesn't care all the time what he says. He just, if he thinks it, he says it. And if you've been around me for very long, I'm sure you've seen that. Also, Peter is not afraid to defend what he believes in. Jesus is being taken away, and he grabs a sword, and he's like, let's go. He is ready. Now, that part of it, I don't have a sword. I'm not talking about that, but I'm always ready to say something. Is it the right thing? Is what we're saying or what we're doing, is it right? We're going to read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Peter is about to have a very bad evening. He's cut off the ear. Jesus told him, get back. Don't do that. You, in fact, are going to deny me three times. We're about to read about that. That's right. It says, now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came. Can't read it with my glasses on there, and it's too close to that. Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came. He's in a courtyard. Remember, we talked about being in court, being a witness. You said you were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it to them. I don't know who you are talking about, he said. Then he went out into the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to them, this fellow was the one was with Jesus of Nazareth. It's my first day talking. Was with Jesus of Nazareth. I still can't say it. He denied it again with an oath. I do not know. I don't know this man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I don't know about you, but this is the most relatable portion of scripture that I've ever read in my entire life. I've had those moments where I may not have said that I didn't know him, but there was nothing in any action that I was doing that you could notice that I did. There would be no evidence to show you that I did. My testimony was terrible. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes because the first thing that comes to me is not to say, is there anything I can pray for you for? Or is, how are you doing? It's not that. It's something silly. Something about a movie. Something about where I ate. I talk about food a lot, too. Something about sports. Something about something that means absolutely nothing. I think about this, and I think about Peter at that moment, and I think about how he felt knowing where Jesus was. And Jesus was saying nothing, and all he could do was tell people that he had no idea who this dude was. Never heard of him. I'm out of here. Got to the point where he even cursed his name. Can't imagine how Peter felt. It was bad. He felt low. And we've all been there. We've all felt low before. We've all had a moment where we didn't do what God wanted us to do. But, favorite three-letter word, but. While this may be something that's very familiar to us in the portion of Scripture that we have, if we believe in Jesus, then we are all witnesses, and we can be good or bad ones. What will you go on to be good or be bad? There's going to be days when we have both. There's going to be days when we're like, this is what I believe. How many of you have gotten home from church and been like, man, that was awesome. Somebody cut you off in traffic and you're like, what are you doing? I don't want my wife to be asked any questions. She's seen that way too many times. But that's part of our witness, right? There are three ways that we can be that we can witness. And most people will say, well, Matt talked about bringing people to Jesus, but he said this or he said that, but I'm not real good at talking to people. And maybe you're not, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's more than just getting up in front of people and talking to them about it. Sometimes it's a one-on-one conversation that you can have with somebody that you talk to every day. Do we talk to people about Jesus at all in our lives? If you interviewed a coworker, would they even know you went to church? I can tell you not that there were definitely many times, right now I don't work, so that's a different story, but that I would be at work and no one would have known that I went because it was like the last thing that I thought about mentioning. Do you ever just read scripture aloud? Not in a room with a bunch of people, that may seem a little weird, but just read it out loud, because sometimes hearing it instead of just reading it silently can be the difference that you need. You're actually witnessing to yourself then, because you're using scripture for it. Do you ever pray with people? What we did just a few minutes ago with praying, that's powerful stuff. It doesn't happen everywhere. My church, if you went up in front of everybody whenever I was a kid, you must really need Jesus. You were deep in sin, and oh boy, that never happened. People never got up and did that. Only church I've been in that I've seen it. Pray with other people. Some of us, just the verbal part is not us. It's not what we do. Maybe we don't like the sound of our own voice. Clearly, that's not a problem for me. But maybe we don't like the sound of our own voice. Maybe we don't feel confident enough in the scripture. Maybe we just know what God did for us. You know what? What God did for you, He can do for other people. That doesn't mean that we need to hold back. We can tell other people, just tell them your story. If you're not confident with other people's, you ought to be confident with your own. Another way that we can do it is work. And I think in my life, I've been in a couple of different churches. I've never been to a church that had more people that were willing to do this work than this one. They volunteer for every work day, every cleanup. They help out every Sunday, either Sunday school, they help with singing, and it goes on. A lot of people are far more comfortable with that. And that's great. That's a way you can witness. You can show other people. Let's say they walk up to you and go, hey, man, what are you doing this weekend? Well, we got a cleanup day at church, and that's what I'm going to do. That actually is an in for you to talk to them about your church. It's an opportunity for you to talk to them. We have a trunk or treat with our church. We have vacation Bible school with our church. These are all opportunities. Guess what? This Sunday, we have Friends and Family Sunday. You're my friend. Why don't you come to church with me? You can do it just like that. It's just that easy. There are other ways to do it. And these are the people that whenever I think of the... I'm sorry. There are people that do it with kindness. And I can't throw a rock without seeing those people in this building. And very fortunate for me, I married one of them. Those are the people that bring over the bread that they just baked because they love you. And they just want to say hi. Those are the people that go, hey, can I pray for you about anything? Those are the same, these are things where they overlap. It's work too, right? Kindness and work and talking to people, it's all the same thing. Those are the people that offer a word of encouragement. You don't even know how they knew you needed it. Not just to each other, but to their pastor. To the person who's teaching their kids Sunday school, to the person who's a friend, a co-worker. Kindness goes a long way. When I think about Jesus' life and his ministry on earth, it's almost the first thing that I think of. He was surrounded by disgusting, evil sinners. You know, like everybody in this room. And he showed them grace and kindness. When we're in public, is our behavior different from those who aren't believers? Can people pick us out of a crowd? And people say, there's something different about them. Can they say, that guy, there's something wrong with him. I don't know what it is. Or maybe, that guy's always happy. Why is he always happy? Why is she always happy? Why did those two do everything together? You know how many times my wife and I have been asked that? A lot. Don't you ever do anything with your friends? I am doing everything with my sister in Christ every single day. She may tell you that she could use some space from her brother, but that has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. Can we make, is our lives a daily testimony? Are we showing in our lives every day what Jesus did for us? And you may say to yourself, look, I did some things that were real bad. Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus was there. Paul was killing people. Don't tell me that you're too far gone. None of that happens. None of that happens. You're not too far gone. I'm going to read three scriptures really quickly so I see what time it is. We're going to read Acts chapter 4. We're going to talk about Peter again. He's up to no good, right? He's going to get us in trouble. Peter is going to show us what he feels. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming Jesus' resurrection of the dead. This is a different Peter we got coming now. They seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail the next day. But many people who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to be about 5,000. Peter had a change in his life. Peter had experience to come by to say, look, I messed up. My question is, are we that willing to share the gospel with everyone around us? How important is it? Somebody shared it with you. Somebody took you to church. Somebody invited you to church. Maybe you went on your own, but the people there spoke to you. The pastor spoke to you. You're here for a reason, because somebody brought you. Somebody loved you enough to bring you or invite you or to make you want to stay when you came and you didn't want to be here. Your parents might have dragged you here. There were several Sundays that happened at my house. It was like a fight to see who could get everybody out the door. My dad was very verbal about that. Let's go! So are we willing to go to jail for what we believe? Are we willing to believe, and I'm not talking about actual criminal activity, I mean them throwing you in jail because you were speaking the truth. Are you willing to proclaim that Jesus is Lord no matter what the cost? Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was helped, then know this, you and all of the people of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is a different Peter, right? I mean, this is the same Peter that we know because he's not afraid to speak, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he said, you know what? I can't be silent anymore. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you believe that today, then there is absolutely no reason you can't find a way to witness to somebody. That doesn't mean beat yourself up about it when you miss an opportunity. Just be ready for the next one. What are we willing? Are we willing to proclaim Jesus is Lord no matter what the cost? There was a serious cost here. Peter wasn't scared for his life anymore. He was scared that night when Jesus was on trial, but when it was his trial, he was like, no, this is where I stand. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, and then we'll be done. Then they called them in again, commanded to them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Jesus and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. I was in a pretty bad place at one time in my life, spiritually speaking. If you'd look at me outwardly, you wouldn't know the difference. I was a happy guy. I like to joke. I like to have fun. And somebody at my house was telling me, we probably should go to church. Don't you think we need to go to church? And I was like, no, we do not need to go to church. Because I knew who I was and what I'd done, and I felt like I couldn't go back. And then I had a friend at work, Chris, who is not crazy about, he's not a very talkative guy. Let's put it that way. He said, hey, we got a softball team at our church. All you got to do is come a couple times a month. And I was like, is that it? That's all you got to do? He's like, yeah, why don't you come? And I said something to my wife. And she got excited because she knew this is where we needed to be, somewhere. And we got here, and it wasn't two times a month that we started coming. We don't even have a softball team anymore, by the way. There's not even a softball league. He chose to talk to me about it. He didn't have to. Verbal is not his strength. He's a worker. He's a kindness person. You're going to have a hard time finding somebody who's kinder or more willing to work than that man. He chose to talk to me that day, not about sports, but about, hey, why don't you come to church? And he'd seen me play softball. It was not that impressive. You don't have to laugh that hard. I know. Folks, there was somebody in your life that cared enough to share the gospel with you. It may have been a parent, a grandparent, a cousin, a relative, a friend, somebody that you hardly knew, And maybe the person working next to you in that garbage job that you didn't really like, that was like, hey, this is something else to talk about other than complaining about work. Why don't you come to church? If you're here tonight, this morning, I guess, I don't know what time it is, I guess. But if you're here and you're thinking, I don't know how to do this, the first thing you can do is start by praying. Saying, God, I need the opportunity, and I need the words to say when somebody comes to me about this. I need to be the person that when people look at me, they see the difference. It doesn't always mean what you say is going to be the thing that gets them. It's what you do, right? Everybody always says actions will speak louder than words. If you're not willing to put in the time, you need to pray and say, God, I need to be willing. Help me. Find the time. That's right. Are you willing to read the scriptures? To yourself first.